Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The media put up this fairy tale around Deshaun Watson that he was equal parts choir boy and Boy Scout. And from what we're hearing, a lot of that was make-believe. A lot of bullcrap.
Deshaun Watson continues to end up in worse and worse shape as every single day passes.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the show.
Yes, it is. Clint Show. T. Sleazy with a beautiful open in the building. And it's been quiet, Clint. It's been quiet really since Friday on the Deshaun Watson situation. Rusty Harden, Deshaun Watson, they have said their piece and really not much since Friday. And Tony Busby, outside of an Instagram post, hasn't really said too much. But tomorrow is a big day because the judge had this to say Friday, and this, which means tomorrow, is this day.
I think protecting the women, protecting the due process, protecting the defendant, making sure that we're actually making this law and order equal justice. At this particular time, I am going to grant Attorney Harden's request.
Your Honor, may I just clarify one thing before you go?
I think I'm real clear because I read your motion over and over and over. So if I misstated, forgive me. Go ahead, sir.
I just want it's the order for us to replead and disclose the young lady's names.
Within 2 days.
Okay, that's why I just want to be clear. I want to make sure I did what you wanted me to.
All right, 2 business days, and that would mean Wednesday. So tomorrow we'll know for sure that that Rusty Harden and company have all of the names. And we'll see what comes about after that information is dropped. But tomorrow is the day that has to occur, and things may pick up.
Yeah, look, the decision was Friday. You got Monday, Tuesday, 2 business days, and that would mean by Wednesday morning there's got to be a name put on 13 of the 22 lawsuits that have been filed on Deshaun Watson. And, you know, I think that'll be one of those days. We talked yesterday about Deshaun Watson and Rusty Harden need to stack several wins.
Winning days.
Yeah. Winning days between now and the draft. And that's if Deshaun Watson and the Texans have a chance to move Deshaun Watson within the next 16 days. And this would be a day to me that would mark a win if Deshaun Watson and Rusty Harden, I mean, really is who this is up to. If they get those names and if they're able to either before without doing any work and just with the ruling of the ladies having to put their name on the lawsuit, and which means their name would be public knowledge, I believe, or at least Rusty Harden would be able to use those names freely. That's a huge step for someone that's filing a lawsuit on an individual, especially a celebrity with the ranks of Deshaun Watson. That could put some of these ladies in a position to decide that they don't want to move forward.
That's the big one, right? Because now that comes out, and who knows, some of those names may be made public or potentially made public, and that is the one. And I agree with it when you said this. One of the main pieces, and we'll keep reiterating this from the strategy of Rusty Harden and Deshaun Watson's side, is getting the number 22
That's it.
Down.
Got to get it down. I don't care if you get it down to 15. You got to get it down.
You got to get it down. And we've gone through a period where it hasn't gone up because, hell, it was just traveling up. Yep. It was 1 to 6 to 9 to 12 to – it seems like it stayed at 22. Now you have to try to get that number down, as you said, and this to me is probably the first mark of when we could see that possibility happening.
I mean, so look, if Deshaun Watson and Rusty Harden, if they've consistently, when they have spoke to the media and when they have spoken publicly, they've consistently said Deshaun did not force, coerce, or what was the other? I don't remember what the other term they used was. But he didn't force anybody. Everything was consensual. There were things that happened, but everything was consensual. If that is the case, if you look at these lawsuits, there are a large percentage of these lawsuits that there's never an accusation of Deshaun Watson forcing the individual to do things, right? There should be, you would think, based off the lawsuits, If Deshaun Watson and Rusty Harden really do firmly believe that Deshaun Watson has never done anything wrong, there should be some pretty quick action in at least one or more of those lawsuits that they now know have a name attached to them. So whether the women decide that they don't want to go public and put their name on it and back out of the lawsuit, or Deshaun Watson and Rusty Harden are able to do the necessary digging to, for lack of better terms, get any number of these lawsuits dismissed. Tomorrow is the deadline for those names and those lawsuits to be refiled with the names included. Tomorrow we will know how big of a win Friday could have been for Deshaun Watson.
Because we've said it yesterday. Yeah. In the last couple of days, that if we're talking about days that have been winning days, and Tony Busby and the 22 plaintiffs, in my opinion, have had more than Deshaun. But Friday, we said, was a big winning day for Deshaun, just in terms of winning. First off, just being able to have this occur, to be able to get the names. And then also, I think in a court of public opinion, they had some really good moments. But this is, you're correct. If we start to see, all right, because Amy Dash, who's been on with Payne and Pendergast, said, I wouldn't be surprised if you started to see a few women say, no, I don't want to
feel comfortable moving forward.
I don't want to go in this life. I don't want my life to be flipped upside down. And if you get through tomorrow, or we come in tomorrow or Thursday and five have dropped, then we'll know Friday was a really, really big deal for Deshaun.
Well, it was a big deal, but we talked yesterday's show about Deshaun Watson. And look, we're speaking from a Texans perspective of if they're going to be able to trade him or not, right? Ultimately, that's what the 16 days till the draft, and as it pertains to Deshaun Watson, that's, you got 16 days that you need a lot of positive things to happen on the Deshaun Watson, Rusty Harden front if the Texans are going to be able to trade him for what one would think is a decent draft capital package, right? We said yesterday that's going to take several days being stacked on top of each other of W's for the Deshaun Watson front. Friday, hell, that was a W on multiple fronts, but it was definitely a W in a court of public opinion. It was definitely a W when the hearing fell in favor of Deshaun Watson and getting these names to be, these plaintiffs to be identified. If tomorrow's show, if there's one of the 13 that decide, hey, man, I'm not comfortable moving forward, that would be one of those days to me that Deshaun Watson would need, or more really the Texans would need for Deshaun Watson to have so that they could get an inch closer to possibly being able to trade him before draft day.
Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Tomorrow is a big day in the Deshaun Watson situation, and we will continue to see what moves come from that. It's been quiet, but tomorrow is a big one. Clint and Tyler, should we blame ourselves for that loss last night that the Astros took? Man, we ran down that lineup, didn't we? I mean, we talked about that Tigers team. We literally, when Tyler talked, it ran through the lineup, we hadn't heard of maybe one of them. It took me a while to think through, but we hadn't heard any. We talked about, oh, they got nobody. A.J. Hinch is sad because he's got to write that lineup in because they've got – it came out and Zach Greinke gave up the most runs he's ever given up in a game before and didn't get out of the fifth and gave up six runs. And I mean, right off the bat, back-to-back jacks by guys you've never heard of. Is this one on us?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it took the text line until about 9:30 this morning. I think Tyler found a text where somebody called us a bad word because we
did. I was thinking it the whole time. Damn.
Somebody actually texted during the game at like 9:30 last night.
Oh, it was 9:30 p.m. I thought you meant 9:30 a.m.
No, it was live action.
What a mess show the Astros line. Were. What a mess they were last night.
They just had a bad night. Had a bad night to it.
I mean, think about
the team
that,
they shouldn't have had a bad night.
The Mize guy that I didn't know with the pitcher or if he was the ninth hitter, DH, or what? I didn't know what the hell was going on there.
Seven strong.
But look, so I got hit up on Twitter from a guy, which I greatly appreciate the detail, the stats, and talking about Casey Mize, the top prospect. And I said, okay, well, hell, maybe. Well, they cranked the game up, and I hear, well, he hadn't had a win yet in the bigs. In nine starts, and I'm thinking, damn, what was my man talking about? Like, he may have been a top prospect, but he's 0-9 now.
I feel like he had a real Forrest Whitley feel to it.
He must. I wish he'd have called me on the betting line, though, because, hell, he seven shutout innings versus the Astros. Astros,
out.
Good Lord. That was a big-time performance by Casey Mize. But, man, these Astros. Greinke gets shelled.
My man Greinke said he's – I don't believe him, but Greinke said he's never throwing a slider again.
He's done with it.
He's
giving up on
the
pitch. Let's
go with it. I've never – you ever say that to yourself? I'm never throwing the screen.
No,
like the screen pass lost you, that diagonal pass just lost – I'm never. You know what? I'm never throwing it.
No, sure. Let me take you back to my pitching days. I was the
– You pitched?
Well, I could throw it hard, so they would put me up there. I was. It was emergency situation. Like you know, I was not a main pitcher, no. But coach would throw me up there because I could at least throw strikes sometimes. I could throw it pretty hard. So I get up there. I was like overly committed to the sidearm curveball. I mean, I was overly, because in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, if I drop down there and I throw, the fastball is going to tell into them, the curveball is going to, they don't have a chance.
Oh, you really think it through.
Oh, I was. Oh, that's a show. That son buck would get hit over the, in Conroe, where our guy Parker McCollum's from. Conroe hit three straight bombs off of me, and they were all sidearm pitches. And Coach said, are you through with that yet?
Yeah, I bet your high school football coach was saying, once you stop throwing the ball like that, before we lose you, sidearm.
I was overcommitted. At least Greinke's over here going, nah,
he's
man,
done
I'm
with
out.
The pitch.
I'm done with it.
He's thrown a slider forever. Now he's just done with it.
Greinke will do what Greinke will do.
And the crazy thing is you believe him. Part of you.
Well, I think definitely dead serious.
Like, he's dead serious. Maybe he may come back in five games, but I don't think he's going to throw. And he told everyone, I'm done, told every hitter who in the American League that they're going to face that Zach's no longer going to throw a slider.
Who's
look for it.
Who's more difficult to watch the plate, Miles Straw or Maldonado right now?
Are you serious with me? Miles all day.
I mean, Maldonado's hitting 094.
I know it.
And he struck out 50% of the times he stepped to the plate this year.
What protection?
I don't think it's quite 50. I think it's like 15 of 33.
What protection for Yuli? Boy, I tell you. Why would you even throw a pitch to Yuli right now with those two guys coming behind?
It's painful to watch.
I would intentionally walk him every time because I know I've got two outs coming behind him.
I mean, somebody made tweeted last night, Miles Straw is like every time he makes contact, it looks like it's a double play. How do you How is that the case when you're
so damn fast?
And he is. He's easily the fastest player in Major League Baseball. Easily.
Easily.
Maybe the world.
Get the hell out of here.
I can't even say that with a straight face. Miles believes he is. Miles said he believes he is. All right. Listen, the Texans, they may be more motivated now to make a move. And Mike Florio of NBC Pro Football Talk, he lays out a scenario that really, really makes that make sense. We'll let you hear that.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Mike Florio of NBC Sports and Pro Football Talk brought up an interesting scenario involving Deshaun Watson and how this could really, really put the Texans in a tough spot.
And the great irony of this would be if he's not tradable, because these civil lawsuits, 22 now and possibly more, have been filed and are moving through the court system, it's possible that the NFL would eventually put him on the commissioner exempt list. Don't be shocked if he shows up, if he scraps the plan to not report, because if he does report and gets put on the commissioner exempt list, he gets paid in full for 2021 and loses no money and doesn't have to play. This is his way of not playing for the Texans and still getting paid. And I'm sure the Texans will regard that as an unfair outcome, but that's how the paid leave procedures work. It just allows the NFL to not have players who are facing charges that have not yet been resolved on TV screens, and us in a position where we have to talk about them during games, after games, before games, throughout the season. It's a way to take the heat out of a hot kitchen, but it's also a way for Deshaun Watson to get paid at a time when he otherwise was not going to show up.
Look, Clint, we talked about it yesterday, wondering from the Texans' perspective what their thoughts are, how eager they are to make a move on Deshaun. Well, that scenario that Mike Florio just laid out, that's one that the Texans, I'm sure, have talked over and could put them in the thought process of wanting to make a move or make something happen with Deshaun Watson, so that scenario doesn't come out.
Look, I think the Texans have flipped every stone, right? I mean, they can't cut him because they owe him $67.1 million in dead cap. Not that they owe him, but that would be the dead cap hit. Is they would accelerate the cap to $67.1 million, right? You got to believe they flipped stones on if the contract and the real guarantees in the contract could or could not be voided moving forward if X happens. Like, I don't know. Nobody knows how this thing's going to play out, but I would imagine they've looked at his contract to see what could be voided if criminal charges come, or if he's on the exempt list, or I would imagine they know exactly what they're going to do if those things happen. But specifically to what Florio's saying, he's due $10.5 million in salary this year. There's no roster bonus. There's a little bit of a signing bonus, but as long as his contract's active, he's going to get that signing bonus. The $10.5 million in salary, I don't know that would be real tough for the Texans to eat.
Yeah.
Truth be told. But did Florio say he could possibly choose to come back?
He could choose to come back.
I think he's a fool if he don't.
Yeah, I mean, just to look at it in terms of your money and what he could get, and then
show he's in a bad spot right now. He don't know what the hell's going to happen moving forward. Now, a lot of this may work itself out by come season time, but if it's not, and this is still hanging over his head, that means that there's also still a possibility out there that all of the guarantees in his contract could be voided. So for him to go back and not report and risk the $10.5 million in salary in 2021 when there's a chance that all of his guarantees could be voided, if not recouped by the Texans, he needs that $10.5 million salary.
Or if he just shows up, he continues to get paid, whether he's on the commissioner's exempt list or not, because he will still get paid. So, yes, he's in a different space than he was before.
Well, yeah, he's in a different space, but the point is like now that $10.5 million in salary.
He needs it.
He needs it. He could very well need it because there's a chance that if it's not resolved by the time he has to or he has to make a decision of whether he reports or not, if it hasn't been resolved at that point, there's potential in the future during the season or after the season that it could be resolved and cost him a boatload of money. And it could, worst case scenario, void the contract and the guarantees in his contract. And hell, I haven't done all the math and looked at all the deep details, but I would imagine he would have to pay them. He could possibly have to pay them some money back. If it does get to a point where his contract is voided,
or he can get hit with fines too, if he's skipping, depending on how far down.
Well, to hell skipping. With fines though. Fines don't. I mean, if we're talking fines or that $111 million worth of guaranteed getting voided, hell with fines. I can pay those. The $111 million guaranteed getting voided. That's where I'm gonna lose sleep over. That's where I'm gonna have a real problem going. What am I gonna do now? And if he's got to potentially give money back, or he's got to make money to live, that $10.5 million salary, where, you know, a month ago he was willing to go, I'll take the fines.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He could possibly need that.
That's what I'm saying. All of the reasons why it would make sense for him to report. And here's the deal for him. I don't know about you, Clint. I think we've reached a point where the Texans are not really interested in him suiting up for them anymore. I think the Texans are ready to move on past Deshaun Watson. So even if he, like, this isn't something the Texans, like, if Deshaun reports, I don't think the Texans are in a space, in the mind space of where they want to play him. Like he's going to be, like, if he comes in and reports that he's going to be the starter and he's going to play if this gets all the way to preseason games or whatever. So I think Deshaun is in a space where, no, I don't think the Texans want to play it because it's obvious he doesn't want to play here. But I don't even think it's in a space where he would be forced to have to play for the Texans, because I don't think they want to put him out there, especially if this stuff is still going on in a major way. So he would get what he wants, is not playing for the Texans, and he would be able to earn this money that he would lose. So it makes zero sense. Zero sense at all for him not to report.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if the Texans would or wouldn't play him or that's a whole different topic, but I'm just like, if his agent is giving him advice to not report at this point in time, given all the things that we know, and to, instead of making that 10.5, just eat the fines, not knowing whether that $111 million guaranteed is potentially going to be voided at some point in time in the future, that would be some badass guidance. That'd be bad business. So Florio talking about he may decide to. No, he absolutely should report.
At this point, yeah.
Absolutely. There's no, like, holding out and eating fines at this point with this hanging over your head. That would be crazy.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's in a different place than he was before March 14th.
Absolutely.
He's in a completely different place. And like I said, he's putting the Texans in a tough spot, because Clint Sterner in the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader, talking about the motivation of the Texans, potentially maybe having to make a move with Deshaun. The Texans have completely changed how they're operating with Deshaun. Like, it does not seem like he is any longer in their plans. They've gone away from.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not in their best interest to act as if he's still their franchise guy at this point. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, and they have gone about it that way.
Right. I mean, you can look at Caserio's comments before all of this surfaced. Compare that to after it surfaced.
And when he's saying he's our guy,
yeah, his
he's
tune
our guy.
Has changed.
To now it's, hey, we're just gonna make the best decision for the team.
McNair's got the same statement, you know, in his statement to season ticket holders. He's sending the same message of, we're gonna do what's best for the team. We talked yesterday. Tyler noticed that the Texans removed Deshaun Watson from the intro of Texans 360. I mean, there's a little bit of a scrub job being done, and I mean, hell, with this looming over his head, you know, I can't say that I blame the Texans for taking that approach. Here's the problem, though. They can say what they want. The Texans can say what they want publicly, but ultimately, Deshaun Watson still has them over the barrel. If they cut him, it's $67.1 million of the dead cap. right? If they try to void the contract because of the actions, that still is going to require them to let him go. So you let an unbelievably talented player
get nothing
go
back.
And get nothing in return. If you cut him, you get nothing in return. So the Texans, they can say what they want publicly and say what they feel they need to say publicly, but ultimately when you got a player that's this talented and this valuable, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. The best case scenario for the Texans is to find a way to work a fair deal as soon as possible and not get raked over the coals in the process.
There are two teams that still seem to be floating around that are looking at Deshaun potentially and still wanting to trade for him. There is a question to be had for the Texans and if they would trade for either one of them. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, Clint. T. Sleazy in the building as well. All right, there are two teams we do hear. We do hear still flirting, still hear the names of the Eagles and the Dolphins, potentially still.
Can I go on record and say I think there's several? There's several.
I know you think there's several, but we've heard.
Like before the draft, several. Not, okay, just.
But the two teams that we hear a lot.
Right.
All right, going on record. The two teams we hear a lot are the Dolphins and the Eagles, right? They both have picks in the top 12 of the draft. The Eagles 6, or the Eagles 12, and the Dolphins 6, and the Dolphins also have 18. So say they come with similar packages, right? Because you said it yesterday, you wouldn't close the door on a trade for Deshaun before the draft, and I think this can still happen at any moment, right? It doesn't mean even after the draft, it doesn't mean he won't be traded. Like that could still occur. If the things were close, if the packages were close, and the decision came down for the Texans, Clint, all right, which young quarterback do we want? Jalen Hurts for the Eagles or Tua for the Dolphins? If it came down to that, packages were similar. Who you going with?
Do I get to pick my coordinator?
Sure. Well, hold on. We know the coordinators we got here. You got Tim Kelly and you got Pep Hamilton.
Good luck.
You got a dueling. You got those. That's what you got.
Yeah, I would take Tua then.
Really?
Yeah.
713-572-4610. If it came down to the two young quarterbacks between Tua with the Dolphins, Jalen Hurts, that was the deciding factor. Which young quarterback would you want better? And I get there's a part of what you're talking about is because of who the Texans have in house, you go to it.
There's no question. I mean, I watched Tim Kelly not use Deshaun Watson properly. Yeah. I mean, I watched Tim Kelly and Bill O'Brien, which Tim Kelly, the only offense Tim Kelly knows is Bill O'Brien's. I watched him limit Deshaun Watson, who. You know, throwing the football is light years ahead of Jalen Hurts at this point in time. And so, yeah, I mean, if you're not going to use a guy's strengths and if you're not going to use all of his skill set and as a result, you're ultimately going to consistently not put him in position to play his best ball and play the quarterback position at the highest level he possibly can. If you can't do that with Deshaun Watson, there's no way in hell you're going to do it with Jalen Hurts. So, yeah, I would go Tua because I think he's
got – And that hurts because you love Jalen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you're in today's game. If you can find a guy that can, by design, force defenses to close the middle of the field because of his legs, if you can find that guy, you've got a real chance. To you got a real advantage in the NFL game in 2021. If you've got a pocket passer, he's got to be Brady, Breeze, Aaron Rodgers between the ears to win at that level. And Pat Mahomes is a hybrid. I mean, he's got some of the outside the pocket off platform stuff, and he's been really lucky at this point in his career. Now he's unbelievably skilled. So he's kind of a hybrid. Take him out of the mix. That's a different animal there. But if I know what Tim Kelly does and what they ask their quarterback to do, Tua has a much better chance to have success in Houston with this staff than Jalen Hurts does.
As we talked here, Clint Sterner in the show here, if it came down, the Eagles and the Dolphins seemed like two teams that we hear a lot that potentially still are interested in a trade. And as Clint said, there are probably others, but interested in still trading for Deshaun. If it came down to the two young quarterbacks they have, Jalen Hurts, Tua, who would you rather have? And I think it is interesting because you brought that to the table with Jalen. He is so his potential success is so predicated on who he works with.
Yep.
Right. And I think, and maybe Tua is not as big of a deal for him, but Jalen, because you believe Jalen can work in the NFL, right? It's not that you don't think he can't be a starter in the league. It's just primarily Tim. If it's Tim Kelly's offense, that stuff. What if it's Pep? You think? Would you feel better about Pep Hamilton?
I would definitely feel better. Yes, but I don't know that I know enough and have seen enough of Pep with a dual threat quarterback. I mean, look, it's a monster in this league for any coach to commit to a dual threat guy and literally commit to him. And use his legs and
his
arm.
What's the issue with it? Why is that?
It's injury and history. I mean, you know, history shows that, you know, you win with the quarterback that can distribute the football accurately on time and on schedule from the pocket. I mean, that's ultimately what's consistently won in the NFL year after year after year. And you just saw Brady do it again. And you look at Pat Mahomes, man. Pat Mahomes is probably the best talent we've ever heard play the position. As of last week, I heard sound bites of him. What's he doing? He's working on getting the ball out, being a distributor, accurate, on time, on schedule. He's worked because he knows that's what wins. And ultimately, that's what keeps him healthy, and that's what keeps him upright, and that's what overcomes holes in the offensive line. That's what overcomes not being able to run the ball if there's three games where you can't run the ball. The way you overcome that is you distribute the ball accurately, on time, and on schedule. And so I understand why coaches are reluctant to go, okay, I'm going all in on a guy like Lamar Jackson. I mean, what Greg Roman and you know what they did in Baltimore with Harbaugh and Greg Roman committing to Lamar Jackson, it blew my mind, and it worked, and it was smart, and they pushed everything to the middle of the table on Lamar Jackson, went out and won 14 games the first year as a starter.
So is that the type of guy that Jalen's got to have? Like if Jalen, he's got to have a Greg Roman type. So that's the space that he has to be in. Because he doesn't run it like Lamar, though.
No, he runs it like Dak. Mm. No, he's Dak. He's more of a Dak. Now, Dak's a better passer of the football than Jalen is. But I think they should be used in a very similar fashion. I think, though, like if you're not willing to commit with Jalen Hurts, if you're not willing to commit to use his legs consistently throughout a game, to stay, and I'm not talking about scrambles. I'm talking about to stay ahead of the chains. I'm talking about to stay in second and six or less, and third and threes, and third and ones. And then when you get in those situations, you commit to using his legs to convert. And I'm not, you don't have to do it at an unbelievable rate, but you can't go three or four games and have a designed quarterback run twice in two or three games. Like that's, you're not committing to anything. It's a waste of time. With Jalen Hurts, you need to do consistently. He needs to be a part of your running game. And if you're not going to do those things and you're going to put him in position to sit in the pocket and process defenses consistently, then
it's not using his strengths.
It's not using his strengths. It's not putting him in position to play the position at a very successful. It's square peg, round hole. It's a coordinator that doesn't understand or doesn't want to commit to the new age football, which is fine. Like I said, you just saw Brady win a Super Bowl. Hell, I'm not sitting here saying everybody should change. I'm saying if Jalen Hurts is the guy you're going to commit to, it makes no sense to commit to it unless you get the right offensive coordinator in the mix. Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray are a absolute perfect fit.
Could he work in that system? Could Jalen work in that system? Because it feels like Jalen is almost tied to just one type of style. And that is
he's not tied to one type of style. He's a square peg round hole in one type of style. In a pro style pocket passing offense, which is Bill O'Brien and Tim Kelly. He is very, very limited. And it's not it doesn't make any sense for any team in the NFL to draft a guy like Jalen Hurts in the second round and then not commit to his skill set. Right? It just doesn't make sense. And look, he could be a guy that, like Dak. I mean, Dak's a guy that everybody gets hung up on 5,000 yards passing and all. Dak is not a guy that should throw the ball 44 times a game. He averaged 44 attempts in the five games before he got hurt last year. That's not winning football for Dak. You're not going to win by you can surround him with great talent. You can surround him with one of the best running backs in the game. I know he's not statistically, but Ezekiel Elliott would be one of the first running backs off the board if they were all put up for rent right now. You can put all the talent you want around him, and you look at the end of the day, you look at the stats and see how pretty it is. But at the end of the day, they're going to be 8-8, and Ass is going to be home in the playoffs, and that's the way it is. And they're just guys that need the right coordinator. They need the right coordinator to play their best football.
From the text line, what if Bob never let Kelly do his thing with Watson? Maybe we haven't seen all of Tim Kelly's playbook. I would prefer Hurts.
Okay, to each their own. I wouldn't be mad at Hurts. I just think Hurts would be a very, very bad fit for what Tim Kelly wants to do.
And I disagree with the texter. I don't think that Tim Kelly has something hidden in his playbook. Because Bill O'Brien was gone for 12 weeks. And it was Tim Kelly's offense. Like he called the plays. He could implement whatever he wanted to implement. And there were some subtle changes on some things. We saw like some option stuff that they threw in a little bit more, but it was very similar to what Tim Kelly and what Bill O'Brien had been doing the years before and when Bill O'Brien was there. So I don't think that Tim Kelly's got a hidden portion of his playbook that he hasn't been allowed to use.
No, I think Tim Kelly probably listened to Brandon Cooks, Deshaun Watson, Will Fuller, probably Randall Cobb
to
a certain extent. And when players have input and they understand concepts, they play at a higher level. And I think you saw Deshaun Watson develop in his fourth year in the NFL. You saw him have more input in the offense. There was less time spent at the line of scrimmage trying to guess what the hell was going on and more just getting the football out, becoming that solid distributor. And look, I'm not knocking Tim Kelly. I mean, the fact of the matter is he's called plays for less than 16 games in the NFL, and he knows one offense. That's the fact of the matter. And in this game, you're going to fit one style of quarterback. That's your Tom Brady type of quarterback. And I'll take Tom Brady in the mix. Your pro-style pocket pass, high-level processing quarterback is what you're going to fit. And I think the best guy the guy that has the best chance to succeed, if you're asking me about Tua and Hurts, is Tua in that position.
Clint Sterner in the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. And I know there's only about seven people out there who give a damn about what I think on this subject, but I'll give it to you all, the seven of you who care.
There's two of us here, so there's five people out there.
I don't think Tyler gives a damn about it, so there's six and a half.
I think he's in Mexico.
Yeah, I think he is, too. You make a great point about the staff that we have here because you couldn't look at what Tim Kelly did with Deshaun and not think about that. But I just look at the two players, and I know that I may be giving too much on one season, but I look at Tua, and Tua just don't seem like he has it. And the it that you, at least in the NFL, not like you saw it in college. That it of everybody on the team feels confident and comfortable that in a tough moment, Tua's going to dig us out of it. I think people, and even at times with the Eagles when Jalen struggled, I think people do have a feel that he has that it thing of when there's something, when you're in trouble, that he's going to try to find a way to get out. I think there's some confidence. There were moments that Tua looked like, and it's just 1 year and I know it, but Tua looked like he didn't want it. Like, third and eight, and I'm going to throw it 3 yards anyhow, knowing I don't have a chance to get it. And Jalen will break his neck to try to make a play happen. He seems to be at least more alert, more have a want to in a big moment, in a tough moment, than Tua does. And I think that's really big at that position. So that concerns me from Tua, and that's why I would go with Jalen, because I don't think the talent there's a huge gap in talent between the two of them, specifically on what it is that they excel at. And I just, something about Tua that 1 year, Clint, with the Dolphins, he just didn't feel like that's a guy that has the it factor, the mindset that's going to get you to where you want to go. And that would be why I would slide with Jalen Hurts, even though your point of, well, who is he going to be working with is a really, really good point. But it's just something about the mindsets between those two.
Yeah, and look, I mean, if you're asking me about Tua and Jalen Hurts, and if we're having the conversation around if each quarterback is in the ideal situation, the right OC that's a perfect fit, talent around them, I'll take Jalen Hurts 10 out of 10. But unfortunately, he's going to, it's going to be very difficult for Jalen Hurts to get that fit in the NFL. Now the league's changed and there's more people that are willing to do some outside the box thinking or some dual threat quarterback approach thinking. But right now, if you asked me which guy do I believe has a chance to have the most success and find a good fit in this league, I would say it's Tua simply. And now that's based solely off the fact that I don't think
it makes sense.
Like Greg Roman and Harbaugh, what they did in Baltimore, to this day, I still don't believe it. Like I cannot believe
they made that work and he was an MVP of the league.
I mean, unanimous. No, I can believe they made it work. Because I believe that Lamar Jackson could play quarterback in this league. I didn't say he could win championships, but I believe he could play quarterback in this league. I was blown away when they drafted him, and then we watched him for about four games, and they literally built their entire scheme around
him. Because
they
were with Flacco before.
That's it.
It was a completely different.
That's it. I mean, it was a 180. And now that's what it has. That's what it takes when you get if you wanna win Super Bowls, if you wanna have a legitimate shot to win Super Bowls and strike fear into defenses that are playoff caliber defenses, that's what it takes. I guarantee you, if Jalen Hurts is a quarterback in Philly and they commit to his legs, defensive coordinators in this league are gonna have major concern. If he's throwing it like Dak 40 times a game through the first month of the season, they're going to be like, bring it on. Come on. We'll take it all day long.
He'll make a mistake, yeah. Tua just seemed to be – a little bit all too okay with Ryan Fitzpatrick coming in and relieving him at times. Like, it just seemed a little bit it just seemed a little okay with that situation.
He's got a nice guy.
Yes.
Persona.
Yeah, that's it. That
may not work in the NFL.
Yeah, there's something about – you could be a nice guy. You don't have to be an a-hole, but I just – and it's based off of 1 year. It could be. Big spot, tough moment. He's going to go and make the play.
You're hitting it. Let me tell you, you're hitting a nail on the head. And I just thought about this when you was talking. The question with Tua is, can Tua and his personality work outside of the Nick Saban umbrella?
When you got all the talent.
You ain't think about it. If you're Alabama, I can just show up. Everybody's on time. Nobody talks back in the huddle.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody has penalties. Nobody drops balls. Nobody, you know what I mean? If you do that, your ass don't play. So you're for a quarterback, you don't have to be a great leader. You don't have to be a take charge guy. You got to show up and do your job, and odds are you're going to be an All-American, right? That ain't the case in Miami.
Oh, hell no.
Right? That ain't the case in 90%, really anywhere outside of the way they run things up in New England.
Yeah, Kansas City. You don't get those weapons around.
That's it.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, tomorrow is a big day in the Deshaun Watson situation. and we will let you know exactly why coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.